Hi there. We are now learning about Paul's visit to Athens, and this is the third lesson and the last lesson from Paul's visit to Athens. The Athens were worshipping their unknown God, and Paul began by saying, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked along and I looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" So Paul used this as a point of contact, a stepping stone, to tell them about the true God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. So Paul began to speak about God, and he says, God is not an unknown God, but the God that we can know. Today, we'd like to learn two major aspects. Number one, who is this God? And number two, how can we find this God? So number one, who is this God? In today's passage, Paul explains who the true God is by three things. Verse 24 to 25. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth. So first of all, Paul told them that the real God is the Creator who made the world and everything in it. And you can see, many areas in the Bible, but let's see. I'll give you two passages. Romans 1:20, Paul says, "From the beginning, creation in its magnificence enlightens us to his nature. Creation itself makes his undying power and divine identity clear, even though they are invisible." Also, Psalm 19:1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." So all the nature, which was God's fingerprint, that shows that we have the Creator God. Many Japanese people see nature and say, "Wow, nature is great, that's awesome," and worship nature. But actually, when we see the nature, we can surely know that there's someone who created all of these things. There's a designer, there's a creator. The whole world is the evidence that there is a God and he is the great creator. You can find the Epicureans in Acts 17. The Epicureans believed that everything was governed by chance. Everything was by chance. Many people believe that too. Many people believe luck or fortunes. If something good happens in our lives, I am lucky, I am fortunate. Many people believe that we happen to exist, we happen to be here, we happen to meet each other. Everything is by accident, by coincidence, or by chance. The viewpoint of evolution is the same. It is based on chance universe. It believes we are what we are because of the random chance mutations that were beneficial to the human race somehow. But the Bible says that the world or our existence was not by chance or by accident or coincidence, but that everything was made by the hand of God and that he is Lord of heaven and earth. On the other hand, the Stoics had a different idea that they taught that the man's happiness consisted in bringing himself in harmony with the course of the nature and the universe. They taught that God was in the world, that it is part of the world and immanent in it. And this view is called as pantheism. It's the same as what we call the New Age movement. They believe that God is a part of the world, God is in you, and you are God, and I am God. But Paul said, no, no, no. The real God is the Creator. He is the Creator. The real God made the whole world. Friends, can you see the difference? Can you see there's a crucial distinction because you will either worship the Creator God or you worship some part of the creation, something in the world. Paul also pointed out that that God is self-sufficient. God is self-sufficient. Verses 24-25. God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. So, Paul is saying, he is uncontainable. Even the heavens cannot contain him. No matter how magnificent the shrine or temple is, it could never contain God. He does not depend on us. He can exist by himself. He doesn't need any help, nor requires nothing to exist. He does not need any human temples, nor does he need to be served by human hands. And we don't have to provide for him. Rather, he provides for us. And he doesn't have to breathe by his nose. He gives life to bread and breath to all the living things. And he is the Lord. There is no one else. So God is self-sufficient. That's number two. Number three. The Creator God still wants to have a personal relationship with each person. Look at verse 26. This God made us in all our diversity from one original person, Adam, okay? Allowing each culture to have its own time to develop, giving each its own place to live and thrive in its distinct ways. So it's saying that God is in control. God controls the history. God controls history in each age, and what countries there are, what cultures are there, what countries are strong, how history works and prospers, that is all in God's hand. The Epicureans taught that God is the one who is not bothered by human races, that he is not concerned with us at all. But no, 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 God is not such a being. He, from the beginning of history, God has always been a part of, and history is moving according to God's plan. And if you look at the Jewish history recorded in the Old Testament, you can see this clearly, right? God didn't just create the world, but even today, he is leading through history. Even us who live in this coronavirus age, God cares for us, and God is leading each one of us. And that is what Paul said in verse 28. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Paul quoted these poems to share that God is not far from us. God is close to us, and in fact, he is living in us. Friends, God is not the being who is far from us. He is so close to us. The real God is the creator of the whole world, but still is, and the great God and the whole world, even the whole world of heaven cannot contain him. At the same time, he is with us, he is in us, he is among us. We live within him and move and have our being in him. Paul gives his conclusion in verse 28 and 29. Being then God's offspring, We ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. So we are made by God, and we are the children of God. We exist in God, we believe in God, we move in God, and it is unthinkable that God is made by human hands and human art and imagination of gold or silver or stone. The other day, you know, the small Monica came to the church building, and she was going to upstairs to, you know, that stairs to the second floor. So I tried to hold her hands secretly, because I thought she might think I am her dad and by mistake. But no, I couldn't do that. She was like, "You're not my dad," you know. So I couldn't do that. And I, you know, a child cannot make anyone she wants to be her father, right? Okay, I like this man. You know, I've decided to make this man as my dad. We can't do that, right? In the same way, we cannot make anything to be our God. God who created the heaven and earth and humans is the real God and our Father. And God put you in this world for a purpose, not by coincidence or accident. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to enjoy Him. He wants you to have an intimate relationship with Him. And He wants to walk and talk with you, and, you know, day by day. Then, how can we seek God? How can we find this God? Well, in order to find a clue, let's see first why the Greeks, many of the Greeks, missed to find the Creator God. The number one reason, that is, they were not really seeking God. Verse 27, that they should seek God, perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him, yet He is actually not far from each one of us. So it's saying, if we seek God, we can find Him. If we seek God, we can find Him. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. So, are you really seeking God? Are you really searching for God? Are you really knocking the door? No matter who you are, if you seek, you will find Him. You may have been seeking God seriously. If you are really seeking God, and if you have not found Him, so what's the cause of that? Maybe that is because you are searching in the wrong direction. It's no good just to have a religious heart. No matter how hard you run toward the wrong goal in the competition, you would not be able to reach the goal. Why? Because your goal is wrong. Rather than seeking God, you know, we are most often ignoring Him. We get caught in our own things. We get caught in our own living. We get busy doing our own thing. By doing so, we make our things gods, in other words, idols. Why? Because of our sinful nature. Because of our sin. Sin means off the mark, right? Off the mark. In other words, the wrong focus, the wrong direction, the wrong goal. So even if we try to find the true God, we are inclined to make ourselves the center. We search for gods to find to fit our personal needs. So Paul urged the Athenians to repent from sin. that is in verse 30. The times of ignorance got overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. The ignorance here means the problem is not that God did not reveal himself enough. It is our responsibility, it is the responsibility of our part to seek this known God. God has ignored such, God has overlooked such ignorance in the past, but now he gives this gift of repentance to everyone in the world. Repent is not a word you don't hear very often nowadays. But this means to change your mind, to change your heart, to change your life, to realize that you are going into the wrong direction, and turn around and change the course and alter the direction. If your life is focused on the things of this world instead of God, then God urges you to repent and to turn to him, to seek him, to long for him, so that you can find him. Paul concluded his address by speaking about Jesus, although he did not mention his name, as verse 31, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by men whom he had appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. God is telling us, look at the cross. Repent and turn back to him. Look, God loved us so much that he was willing to give up his own son and to die on the cross, and this God is waiting for you. God revealed himself through Jesus Christ to know this true God, so turn back to him, believe in him, and live for him. So, we can know this God by the nature and the creation he has created, but we can only dimly see God through nature. So God is not an unknown God, but he, in order for us to know God, he revealed himself through Jesus Christ. And if we want to know him more clearly, well, you need to read the Bible. And this book explains who God is, and it teaches about him, because God gave us the word. Give us the word to reveal who he is, right? So you won't have a clue or a true picture or full picture of God unless you read or hear the Bible. The Bible is the greatest gift God gave to us right now in order for us to know who he is. So, what were the responses of the people here? Let's see that. Verses 32 to 34 tells us the responses of the Athenians to Paul's message. And there are three different responses in all ages humans make. The same, the same kinds of responses in all ages. And number one, first, some mocked. Some people hear that Jesus rose, and they mocked that because they thought that was impossible. And number two, others said, we will hear you again about this. We will hear you about this on this subject. This type of person tries not to get involved too much, and they just want to be spectators, staying on sidelines. This type is quite common these days, because, we don't want to be involved. This type of people, when they hear the word of God, they just say many different excuses to run away. Or, I'm just busy right now for my job, so I'll come when I have time. Or I'll come when I retire. Or when I come, to talk to you for advice when there are some troubles for me. Or my kids are still small, so I'll come when they grow up, etc. These excuses always make believing in the future tense. And in reality, no matter how long you wait, you will never believe after all. But the Bible says that there are some who did believe and follow Christ. And there are a lot of people who mocked and some who refused to show any real interest, but there are some who did believe and follow Christ. It was a small group, but even so, some people did believe in Christ and followed Paul. And here, Dionysius and Damarius are one mentioned. Dionysius was a member of Areopagus, and so he was used to listening to cases, and he always looked at whether there was a proof of what was being said. However, the important thing is whether a person's heart is prepared or not. In other words, whether a person has prepared his heart by repenting or not is such an important thing. According to the church history, Dionysius became the first pastor of Athens church. And in the 2nd and 4th centuries, many great Christian leaders were part of this Athenian church. And the influence that they had was greater than we'll ever know. So friends, we are living under the same circumstances as Athens. There may be few people who respond to the good news when we preach it, but there are those who mock, and there are others who make excuses. But even so, there are some who believed and followed Christ. So, what is the response? God is not an unknown God, but a God who we can know Him. And those who search for Him will find Him. The important thing is whether we are searching for Him or not, and whether we are searching in the right places or not. God revealed Himself through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, God made us righteous through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and rose 3 days later. So I ask God, help us to have an open heart toward You. God, help us to have a hunger to search for You and long for You. Please open our hearts to the true God, You. Help us to seek You and believe in You and live for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So lastly, I will give you this passage and I will end. This is the passage Keiko-san told us last week, but that's from Ecclesiastes 12:1, and I give you verse 13:2. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you say, I have no pleasure in them. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. May God's grace and blessings on you, and may God strengthen you in your life journey.